Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, tonight I want to discuss the final bracha of the Shemoneh Esrei, but as a portion of that discussion, we have to also include the Birchas Kohanim, because they're not separable. Birchas Kohanim, the blessing of the Kohanim, it immediately precedes the last bracha, and it concludes with the same essence of that bracha, which is a request, in their case, a blessing of shalom, of peace. So the bracha itself is found on page many times, but on 116, both of those are here on 116, the Birchas Kohanim, which is in the repetition in the land of Israel for Ashkenazim, and even outside the land of Israel for Sfardim. We actually have the blessings of the Kohanim on a daily basis. And of course, for us, in outside the land of Israel, we say the blessings only on Yontif. But the blessings are alluded to. We request that their essence come true every day as part of the repetition in Shacharis. So, but let's start by talking about the bracha itself, Sim Shalom. So it says, essentially, Sim Shalom, give or establish peace, Tova and Bracha, Chayin Chesed Rachamim, all kinds of good things, upon us and on Israel, your nation. Bless us, our Father, with all of us as one, with the light of your face, because in the light of your face, you have given us, Hashem our God, Torah of life, a love of chesed, kindness, tzedakah, and bracha, and mercy, and life, and peace. And it shall be good in your eyes to bless your nation Israel at all times and in all situations or at every hour with peace. Blessed are you, Hashem, who blesses the nation Israel with peace. Now, this bracha appears in every Shemoneh Esrei. Which portion of the Shemoneh Esrei does it appear in? Between praise, request, and thanks.
Is it the same as Shalom Rav?
It's the same as Shalom Rav. I'm glad you asked that. It's the same meaning as Shalom Rav. Shalom Rav, I didn't think of it because I personally daven Nesuch Svard, and it doesn't even appear in Nesuch Svard, Shalom Rav, at all. You know, but in Nesuch Ashkenaz, it's the same. It's that that bracha, right? So, same, but the same idea. Shalom Rav also begins with the words, a great shalom you shall give. So which portion of the Shemoneh Esrei does it appear in?
The end.
The end, which is which? Thanks. But I can see in the look on your face, you understand the question. We've covered the thanks in the bracha that precedes this. And this is a request.
True.
So what is a request doing in the portion of thanks? I mean, this is a big question. It doesn't resemble a word of thanks. It would seem to belong in the portion of the Shemoneh Esrei that is about requests. Well, we talked about this actually in the very first week, because there's other portions in the Thanksgiving area here that also make requests, like the establishment of the hearing of our prayers and that kind of thing, and the reestablishment of the Beis HaMikdash is alluded to, the service come back. And we described something that I consider extremely important for somebody who davens. You might remember that a long time ago we talked about the story that I met, that I went to a class by Rabbi Eisenman in Baltimore, and it was a class on davening, and he asked us, who talks to Hashem outside of the context of davening in the room? And no one raised his hand. And there were maybe eight or nine of us. And no hands were raised. And so he said, that's going to conclude our lesson for today. Because I would suggest that if you don't speak to Hashem outside of davening, then you also don't speak to Hashem inside of davening. So your assignment is to speak to Hashem outside of davening 5 minutes a day for the next week, and then come back. And it will change your davening. So the types of people who do that and daven, they're really talking to Hashem. They mean it. The answer to the question that we raised is fundamental for those people, to have a real appreciation for real davening. We're told that there's an obligation to daven immediately after offering the bracha of Gaal Yisrael, that Hashem is the Redeemer, that he takes care of us, that he's taken care of us throughout all the generations. And the Gemara says in Brachos, I think it's on Daf Hei, the Gemara says that anyone who puts the bracha of Ga'ula, of redemption, immediately after davening, follows it up immediately with davening, will merit the next world. It's a ben olam haba. So all the Rishonim ask, what's such a big deal? So you said, Ga'al Yisrael, Hashem is supposed to tiftach. Now you go straight to Olam Haba? So he said, the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, in the back of the Gemara, on the side of the Rif, explained the idea as follows. That the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael is a statement that you really believe with a full faith that Hashem is the one who is... has taken us out of the land of Egypt, and you're appreciative of that. It's an act of praising and thanking Hashem that you saved the Jewish people. If you mean that, if a person means that he identifies that the source of his good is the whatever the given source is, let's say he knows that the guy who's been sneaking him food in the cafeteria, a little extra compared to everybody else, is that guy who works behind the counter. He's been the one who's giving him a little extra. The moment you identify who that is, who's the one who gives you, at that moment, you will be compelled, if you really get that that's the one who gives you, you will be compelled to ask for more from that one. The moment that you know that he's the source, it's not an act of ingratitude to ask for more. Included in the act of gratitude is the request for more, because that shows that you really fundamentally believe that this is the source, provided you need more. In other words, it's not like you say, thank you, oh, would you have given me more? You know, you already gave me $100, can I have $150? It means you're the one who gave me $100 yesterday when I needed it. You're the one who gave me food yesterday when I needed it. Can you give me food today? You're the one who provides for me. So this is what Rabbeinu Yonah says regarding why we daven immediately, why we ask for Hashem, we ask for our needs immediately after we identify that Hashem is the source of our salvation, that he's the one who gives us. We're compelled immediately, since we've identified him, to go ask for more. This is what we call the Sod Smicha Sgula Tefillah. It's the secret of how powerful Smicha Sgula Tefillah is. That you show your real bitachon in Hashem by identifying him as the one who will give you. And it's not ungrateful to do that, just quite the opposite. Let me explain this a little bit with one more metaphor. If you are a fundraiser professionally, and you know that you would like to meet people who are like the heads of foundations or whatever it is, the gatekeepers, the ones who have the money to give you, when you sit down in your chair on an airplane, and you ask the guy next to you, so what do you do for a living? And he says, I'm the funder. I give the money away at the Walton Foundation. That's when you say, really? I've needed to meet you. You're the one I've been searching for. And you therefore ask him, if you get that he's the one. So you therefore make your pitch right there. So if you're already standing in front of Hashem, he's the one, then you make your pitch. And that's why no bracha in the portion of Thanksgiving that is a request is a contradiction. Because it shows that you grasp that he's the one who does. You're giving him the credit, and therefore you need to ask him for more. But I'm going to get deeper about why you're asking for peace in a moment. Go ahead, you had a question.
My question is, honest. It says in Shema, and it even says you're supposed to remember it, that Hashem says, I'm the guy who took you out of Eretz Yisrael.
Yes.
I'm the guy.
Right.
So he's basically demanding that you realize who did it.
Okay.
So why are we so surprised that he's the guy who's supporting us in other ways? And why do we have to act to physically recognize that if we're told to do it?
So we're told to recognize that he's that one.
Right.
But the internalization of that, that therefore he is the continuing funder, not the once upon a time doer, is a different level of hakara. It's a different level of recognition.
Okay.
So you really do that. When you, you see, the moment that a person has that really humble realization that I can't do it alone, I don't do it all, he's going to find out who does it and ask for that to continue to go that way.
I think this goes back to something you said a long time ago about how when it, that in the tefillah, the asking for stuff is what we're supposed to do.
Correct.
We're almost obligated to ask.
It's only through asking. That's what I mean by the ones who are serious about davening. It's only through asking that you can really be honest that you're a Baal Bitachon, a Maimon, that you believe in Hashem. Because if you believe in Hashem, then, and you know he is the banker, so you ask him for the funds.
And that's why you said there's nothing wrong with asking.
Right.
Asking for parnasa, asking for health, asking for whatever it is that you want.
That's what real relationship is.
It always seemed to me that it was, you know, you're the guy who's always asking, you're supposed to somehow pay him Hashem back. You know, you're supposed to, you know, believe in him.
But part of believing in him is continuing to ask.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay, so now, that's principally the idea of requesting during the portion called thanking. But in order to understand the reason why we ask for peace at the end of davening, I want to raise a question that's brought in a sefer called Am Mordechai, written by Rabbi Mordechai Willig, who is the one of the major Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva University, and the Rav of the Young Israel of Riverdale, and also the father-in-law of my brother, my twin brother, Rav Gidon. So he brings a question that goes as follows. In the bracha of Birchas Kohanim, right here in the repetition, the way the Chazan says it, it says Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, our God and the God of our forefathers, Borcheinu v'Bracha Hamishuleshes, bless us with the three part blessing. Mishuleshes means alluding to threeness. It has some threeness to it. Now in the English they say three verse blessing. But the word verse doesn't really appear here. It's just explaining why it's called three-part. Because it is expressed in three psukim. So bless us in the three-part bracha. Batorah ksuva yidei Moshe avdecha, that appears in the Torah written by Moshe. That is said by the mouth of Aaron and his children. Your kohanim, holy nation, kamur, as is said as follows. And then it says, Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmarecha. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmarecha means Hashem shall bless you and protect you. How many brachas is in that line? How many brachas are in that line?
Two.
Yo'er Hashem panav elecha, may God illuminate his countenance for you, v'chuneka, and give you grace. How many brachas there?
It's five.
Two. Yisa Hashem panav elecha, may God turn his face to you, v'yosim l'cha shalom, and place for you peace. How many brachas there? Also two. Yet we answer amen to the Kohanim only after the first two, the second two, and the third set of two. And it's called bracha mishuleshes, a three-part bracha. But there are six brachas. There are six brachas here.
Not if you count the two requests as a combination deal.
Well, that's evidently why, what you have to do.
Yeah.
But with that, you have to understand then, what is the connection between these pairs, that in each case, the pair is really only one. Mm-hmm. It's like saying, I discovered there are six, but it's called three. So if I discover that there are six, but it's called three, and the Amen is answered after each of the each two. So evidently, there are three pairs being expressed here. And he has just a magnificent insight into this concept.
Yeah, they don't seem like pairs.
Let me grab a chumash with Rashi here.
You know, interestingly, this is the beginning of the Shachris. I once asked you what we were looking over here when you make a bracha. When you make a bracha
on the Torah, on learning,
right, on learning, and it had that in there.
Yes,
which
it does.
I found a little odd.
Why are those the psukim that
we said? Yeah,
I told you then. I don't really know.
I just thought maybe there's a relationship somehow.
There might be. I'm sure there must be.
Okay.
Okay. So here's what it says in Rashi. Excuse me. The pasuk says, "Speak to Aaron and his children, saying, so shall you bless Klal Yisrael, Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerech." Rashi says on the words Yivarechcha, quoting the Medrash Sifri, "She yisbarchu nechasecha," that your property, your possessions, shall be blessed. Okay, and then he says v'yishmerecha, and you shall be protected. Shelo yavo alecha shodidim litol mamoncha, that bandits not come to take your money. Somebody who gives a present to his servant cannot protect it from every person. And once listim come upon him, and they take it from him, what benefit did he give? Did he give the man? I give you something, but then it's stolen. Your net is zero. He says, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a shomer. I mean, excuse me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is the shomer. So what this means is that the bracha of Yivarech Hashem means you should have material success. And the V'yishmerecha is that you should have the protection that becomes necessary
when you have that success.
Because you had the first success. The pair here is I give you A, which causes a need for B, and I give you B. And just to bear this out fully, I knew a young man whose father was a very well-known businessman. But when I say very well-known, I mean world-renowned, well-known billionaire. And when the young man went to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael to learn after high school, he had private security who, you know, trailed him wherever he went in all of Yerushalayim. It's not something I would want personally. But it's the necessary reality when you have the bracha. You know, one thing is for sure. In economics, you will never market a home alarm system to the homeless. Because they don't need no home alarms. And home alarm systems become much more necessary the nicer the home is. This is very simple. Because the more you have, the more you need protection. So the first bracha is Yivarech Hashem, V'yishmerecha, and have the protection. Ya'er Hashem panav eilecha. This means that you should have spiritual success. Meaning that the first one is material success. The second one is spiritual success. Be big in learning. Be big in Avodas Hashem. That's what the Kohanim are blessing us. V'chuneka comes from the word chen. And the word chen, as you know, is moitzei chen, somebody finds chen. Or it says, v'Esther noiseis chen, Esther's noiseis chen, she found favor in everyone's eyes. That means that people like you. Simply put. And the thing is that the control of whether people like you is not up to you. Sometimes they like you for just reasons. Sometimes they don't like you for just reasons. But very often they either like you or don't like you for it's a them issue. It's their issue. It's called chayin. When somebody has chayin, it means, why is chayin found? Chayin is found because it's a found thing. It's that whether you have grace, people look at you nicely. Now here's the thing. If you have no spiritual success, it means you don't represent Torah and mitzvos to people at all. After all, you're not serious about Yiddishkeit or whatever it may be. Then whether you have chayin or not is lovely and important. But it cannot either cause a Kiddush Hashem or a Chilul Hashem. What causes the sanctification of God's name is that a person who's evidently a success in the area of ruchnius, of spirituality, has chayin. People look kindly on that person. So we daven to Hashem, and the Kohanim bless us. Hashem should bless you with spiritual success that now makes you eligible for okay. both Kiddush Hashem or Chilul Hashem, sanctification of God's name or desecration of God's name.
Right.
And therefore, the Shmira for that, the protection, once you've been merited the first bracha, is the second part of that bracha, which is chayin. Okay? The third one is, Yisa Hashem panav elecha v'yosem lecha shalom. Now, Yisa Hashem panav elecha is kind of vague in a certain sense. It means, you know, it means that Hashem should lift his countenance to you.
Wouldn't it mean that he should favor you?
Favor you. That's very good. Now, what does that mean to you? What's the expression of that? So, Rabbi Willig explains it, and I can't remember right now, I didn't look it up, which portion of this I think he explains this based on an earlier commentary by Rav Elio Guttmacher. So I want to give credit where credit's due, but I don't know where this one begins and where this one ends. You'll have to look it up in the Hakdamah to the An Mordechai. I should have looked it up. But he explains like this. If you have success in the physical and in the material, what's left?
Spiritual.
Excuse me, in the physical, material, and the spiritual. I made a mistake. If you have it in the physical, or the material, and the spiritual, which we said is Yivarechacha and Yair. And the Shmira for Yivarechacha is that it's not going to be stolen from you, you'll be well protected. And the Shmira for Yair is that you'll have Chayin. So what's left? There's nothing left. So Yisa Hashem Panav is a distinct bracha that you should have both. Like the Gemara says in Brachas in the first chapter, that the Malachim came to Hashem and said, you say in the Torah that a judge may not show favoritism. Lo yisa panav lo yikach shochad. Can't show favoritism or take a bribe. And yet you are no say panim to Klal Yisrael. As it says, yisa Hashem panav elecha. You give them favoritism. So you're violating. So Hashem responds to the angels, the Gemara says. Hashem responds to the angels.
I don't see it that way.
But that's on one verse says you're not allowed to. And the verse says that he does it.
Verse, I understand. But Yisrael Hashem Panav Elecha, it doesn't mean that he favors you above everybody else. It just, if you become eligible for his favor, he will give you favor. He's happy to give everybody favor.
I'm not arguing with that, but the language of the pasuk says he shouldn't be nosei panim. And the language here says he is no sepan.
You say Hashem. Okay.
Okay? All right. So yeah, here. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that Hashem responds to the angels. I told them, eat and be satisfied and make a bracha, v'achalto v'savato v'rachta. And they are stringent that they say a bracha even if they only had a kazayas or a kibetza. An olive or an eggworth. Meaning, there's a rabbinic command.
It's the minimum.
Yeah, but that's derabbanan. Okay. There's a rabbinic command that if you had a kezias, and the reason why the Gemara is exacerbated is because it's an argument later on in the seventh parak what the halach is. We hold kezias. You have a smaller amount. There's a rabbinic command that you have to say a bracha achrona. You have to bench on that. So the question is, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond like this? Many Torah mitzvos have rabbinic commands associated with them. I said that they're not allowed to cook on Shabbos, And they don't even wrap foods in towels on Shabbos because of Hatmana. How can I not show favoritism to them? I said they can't have red meat with milk when it's cooked together, and they even wait 6 hours after eating chicken before they have milk. I mean, there's a million derabbanans that could have been chosen. So he explains like this. This particular derabbanan is so amazing and so delicious in front of Hashem.
Which one are we talking about now?
Saying benching, even though you didn't have
The
Torah commands, eat and be satisfied and then bench. But they do it even if they weren't satisfied. That's very special. Because who's the one who benches after only a kazayas? The one who's not full. If he'd be full, he's obligated on the Torah level. Here he's not even full because he doesn't have. He only can scratch by enough to have a kazayas. And yet he himself davens to Hashem and thanks Hashem for that which he does have. Here he's the one who could kvetch. I don't have. I'm hungry. But he benches after. To that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't stop myself. I have to show favoritism to them. So based on this, that Yisa Hashem Panav means to show favoritism, and it's related to this notion of benching when you're full, or even when you're not full, what you have there is somebody who, when Hashem shows favoritism to him, he has the bracha of spiritual success that he'll bench even when he's not full. And he has the bracha of material success that he's given the bracha that he'll be full. So the last thing left when you've already been given A and B is to be given A and B. If they make the whole. This part is so unbelievably fundamental. It has to do with what I came in here when I said it when I first arrived here this evening about the difficulty of leaving where I had just been. The shmira, the protection that one needs when he has both material success and spiritual success, is peace to enjoy them both. V'yasan l'cha shalom. When you have one bracha, so you know what to give your heart to and your mind to. The moment you have more than one bracha, and let's go to first to the example, then I'll go to other lives. You're spiritually titanic. People learn when you go to give a shir, and they come and they flock there. And so you have the power in that hour to make a big difference in people's lives. But you're material successful. In that same hour, you can go and close a deal that's going to make lots and lots of money. Maybe you'll even say it's a spiritual thing, I'm going to give it to tzedakah, whatever it is. But it's very hard. Because you know the Yiddish phrase, I'll say it just in English, you can't dance at two weddings. You're pulled this way and you're pulled that way. And instead of the brachos being brachos, people suffer the pain of, I don't know which bracha to give my attention to. Should I go and give the shir or learn the daf or whatever it is? That's what I could use the next few minutes for. Or should I go make a lot of money? Should I go, I'm gifted in this area, I'm gifted in that area? Hashem keeps showering me. A person can go through torment over this. My one kid, Kenainahara, is making a bris in this town. My other kid's making a wedding in that town. What should I do? So the biggest bracha a person can have when he has everything is shalom. And in a lack of shalom, there's a complete disaster because you can't even enjoy what you have. That's what I was saying before is when I came in, I don't want to get into the details of it on the recording. But the point is, it's just a function of bracha. It's a function of bracha. Which bracha do you give your focus to? You know, tonight I'll say this. I'm leaving from here to the airport. Okay? I'm going to do a funeral tomorrow out of town. And I could have taken several flights. The reason why I took this flight was to give this shir. Could have gone earlier in the day, but I wanted to give this shir. I hadn't given the last 2 weeks, whatever the reasons came up. So I really wanted to give this shir. But you get pulled. You get pulled this way, that way. I might have to miss the simcha tomorrow afternoon. I mean, I made the flight such that they even made the funeral in such a way so that I would be able to make it back for the simcha. You know? But the point is, you get pulled. And thank God, it's a function of bracha, kenayin ahara. But you really, really can get, like, just lose it all on this. And people do. People do. So that's the idea of the third bracha. We grasped it clearly. Yisrael is everything. And the great shmir you need for that is shalom.
How do you deal with that? When it's pouring good stuff. How do you deal with that?
Hopefully you stay focused. That it's, like I said, it's a function of bracha.
You have to make priorities.
Right. Of course, that's true. You have to make priorities. No question about it. There's no question. And these are the torments of a lot of good people. A lot of good people, even in their own decisions, are trying to make decisions to do good things. Should I do this or should I do that? This one has all this good to it, and this one has that all. Not necessarily should I do this bad or this good.
Unless sometimes you can delegate, so.
Yeah, but it's hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard. And it's kanayna hara. I mean, that's what happens in life. But the main thing is, don't feel sad about it. Feel happy about it. What a bracha. What a bracha. A very interesting thing, I want to tell you something. This is kind of a side point. People refer to simchas that were long waited for as a huge simcha. You know, whatever it may be, somebody wasn't, having trouble finding a spouse or whatever. Oh, it's a huge simcha. You know, the emes is that it's, in a certain way, a more huge simcha when that bracha is bracha number 10. And whatever the bracha may be, it's bracha number 1. And they waited a long time, so they go, oh, what? It's such a bracha. That's just because of our addiction to economic theory and scarcity. That something has value because it's scarce. In the truth is that when in that same time frame 10 brachas happened before that, then what's the bigger simcha? The one that represents all those things together or not? But that's what we do. We just naturally our nature is that way. Coming back to our point, is that here underscores the crucial nature of shalom. And it's exactly why it fits at the very end of Shemoneh Esrei. If you've had any success, remember we said at the very beginning, the one who's saying the last three brachos is like the Eved, who is confident that his master gave him what he asked for. So he's taking leave, knowing that his requests have been, approved, have been granted. This is the bracha. This is the shmirah at the very end of it all. This is the bracha where if you believe that Hashem listened to your prayers, so then you have to ask for shalom, so that you can enjoy the prayers. And it's you enjoy the brachas, it's shalom from within and shalom from without. Because let's say, God forbid, you live in a war-torn place. So how can you enjoy the brachas if you live in a war-torn place? You have curfew, so you can never go out ever from your house. So what if you have a fancy car? Right? Or some other problem. So what if you have fine art if you can't, you know, use it and benefit from it? And so what if a person becomes, let's say, very wealthy, but they have no shalom between themselves and their family members? You know, and there's machlokes. This bracha of shalom from inner peace and outer peace, I mean, it is the, I don't even know how to describe it. It's the platter on which all blessing has to be served, or you have no blessing because you can't enjoy it. What's the point of having it? You can't enjoy it. So it's so big that this thing is so big that you ask for peace is the recognition that Hashem is going to give you everything you asked for. So you're asking for the peace to enjoy that thing. So I want to conclude with one other idea, which is that in the middle of the bracha, we ask like this, Barchenu avinu kulanu ke'echad bo'or panecha. Bless us, our Father, all of us together as one, with the light of your face. We never find, I think I said this once in a shir before here, we never find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to by Klal Yisrael as our Father, or that Klal Yisrael is referred to by Hashem as a son in an individual way. But what I mean to say is, we have relationships with Hashem that either fit into the category of servant and master, or son and father. There is no place in all of Tanakh scripture, as far as I know, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to an individual as my son, or where an individual refers to Hashem as my father. It's always our father, and Klal Yisrael are sons to Hashem. The reason why this is the case is because there is no notion of being a son without being part of Klal Yisrael. You do not merit the level of child in front of Hashem until there is a togetherness and you tap into the strength of the congregation. Koach HaRabim, the strength of the multitudes. When you tap into that, you're Bunim. You're among the sons. But there is no individual called Ben. The individual who thinks, oh, I'll be a servant of Hashem, and it doesn't matter that I don't get along with people, or it doesn't matter that I don't strengthen the congregation, I don't give to the cause, or it doesn't matter that somebody else isn't getting what they need. That person can never tap into this awesome power called being Banim, children of Hashem. So this Barchenu Avinu Kulanu Ke'echad, bless us our Father, each of us, I mean all of us together as one. The all of us together as one is the prerequisite to tap into that Barchenu Avinu. Bless us our Father, treat us like we're your children. And this, by the way, makes sense. The Nesiva Shalom explains this in a lengthier thing. I'm not going to go into the whole deal now. But he explains this as follows. Servants are relative to one another, either better or worse servants. More or less serving. Children of a same parent are not more or less children. They have exact equality. Maybe they're met better as children. But you cannot say about your brother or your sister, you know, I'm more of my father's kid than them. It's not true. It's silly. You're not more and you're not less. What that means is that there's an equality of Klal Yisrael. This taps into what we've spoken about many times recently in the Drushas, that there is a time when a Jew is asked to do what we call the Truma approach to life, which is kol nediv lev, each one according to his generosity. And there is a time when a Jew is asked to take the machatzis ha-shekel approach, which is not each one according to his generosity, it's each one according to his exact equal to everybody else. The mitzvah of giving the half shekel cannot be done with hidur mitzvah, better than everybody else. It's equal. Everyone gives the same. That makes for an achdus. That makes for a unity of Klal Yisrael.
But no matter how much kavana you have, no matter how much, and you want to be as good a yid as you can, I think, are you saying that you don't have the strength of the banim? You don't have the strength of, so how can you encourage others or expect others to be part of your the things that you ask for, the things that you want to do, the things that you daven for?
So what I'm saying, which is, I think, related to what you said, is that we have certain transcendent powers is the wrong word, transcendent character traits. Transcendent, that's even the wrong phrase also. We have some transcendent qualities. A father has trouble turning his kid away. I'll tell you a quick story about this. Okay, in honor of the Bar Mitzvah that's coming this Shabbos, and in honor of my brother and I speaking this Shabbos together. Okay, you know we're doing that? You saw that?
Something.
Yeah, identical perspectives.
Yeah.
So email. When we were growing up, we had a friend whose father was an identical twin. And the father's father, our friend's grandfather, was a very well-known professor of Jewish studies. Major, internationally well-known professor of Jewish studies. So, the father character that we knew We met his, he lived in our community. His twin brother did not, but the twin brother visited a few times. And so it's, you know, when identical twins walk into a room, other identical twins schmooze with them. Because there's a natural bond. So I don't remember whether the brother was there or not. I don't think it was there. When the father tells me and my brother the following. He says, our bar mitzvah parsha was whatever it was. I don't remember what parsha it was. He says, and my father made me and my brother each learn the whole parsha. And he did not tell us who was laning which aliyah until Shabbos morning. We both had to be completely prepared for the whole parsha.
That makes sense.
Only to be revealed that morning who was reading what. It makes immense sense. I consider it one of the best pedagogical things I ever heard. 99.9% of parents could not hold the secret in order to get the kid to reach that level because they would be merachim on them.
The secret of, oh, so they would blurt out which...
They would see that the kid's struggling 2 weeks before and say, focus on 3, 5, and 7. Focus on the second half of the parsha. That's what you're going to read. Your brother will focus on the first. They would give in because ha'ava mikalkelos zashura, the love disturbs the line. People can't hold the line when they feel love for somebody. That's what they would do. But this man held the line because that's excellent. I mean, it's an excellent, like, it's just fantastic. It's only like real, like, rough, like, coaches would do
such a
tough love, right? It's just fantastic. And he gave him the gift of knowing his whole bar mitzvah. It's a tremendous gift. But you can't hold the line because when you tap into that energy that you're my dad, you're my mom, you're my parent, the people can't hold it. You're okay, remember? They can't. It's very hard to hold that when you feel that affection. So when we are serving, reaching out to Hashem, we'd much rather be banim than avadim. We want to be banim. In front of him, we want to be his children, not his servants. Sure, we want to be his servants also, but you'd rather... Which one is the one who gets welcome to the throne room? The king's son or the king's best servant? Even the king's best servant, the king's son he's a bandit or whatever it is, but he's his boy. So you want to tap into that? You can't tap into it without the Koach HaRabim, without tapping into the Jewish people. So to answer your question from before... It's like this. You want to be the best Jew you can be. But if you're wanting to be the best Jew you can be, it's absent from the improvement of the Jewish people itself, from the other people being the best Jews they can be, from being close to Hashem through encouraging and welcoming and loving and kindness. If that's missing, then you'll never reach your potential because you can't tap into the bunin aspect. That frequency. You're just not on those waves.
You're not in control of those people.
It's not about control of those people. It's about you feeling that you, a kulonuka echad idea, bringing people together, being
doesn't
a...
Doesn't that get you to be disappointed oftentimes?
There's just a difference between being a unifier and being a divider.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about unifying.
But you. I am. I am talking about that. I'm saying that if you want the well-being of Jewish people, I'm not talking about how much they're tzaddikim. If you want to tap into, if you, like, you know, you have to see every person as your brother. Yes, you can only do it for yourself. But you have to see every Jewish person as your brother. And there's a difference between the one who sees him as his brother and who doesn't. And, you know, I know of a certain person. He has amazing accomplishments in his own service of Hashem and in his families. Unfortunately, though, he's just doesn't care about other people at all. Doesn't care about other people at all. And makes other people feel bad all the time. You know? And so much that. And so the idea is that what we're saying here is, and of course this is, of course, wrapped up in shalom. Because that's what it is. So you can't be a shalom. You desire shalom by making shalom. And when you make shalom and you desire shalom, then all the brachas that you have come together to be enjoyable. And you bring about more bracha because you make shalom and you tap into that banim energy and it's kulanu ke'echad, then it's called avinu. When it's kulanu ke'echad, all together, then it's avinu, then he's our father. So this is a very important idea as we close the Shemoneh Esrei to try to tap in again to the concern for others and the togetherness, and to ask Hashem that He provide for us the protection of the fulfilled brachas so that we can enjoy them all. Okay, we're going to stop here.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.